The August 9th, 2021 special city council meeting of the Columbia City Council will come to order. Would you please stand as you are able and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Scala.
Here.
Mr. Thomas. Mr. Pitzer.
Here.
Ms. Peters.
Here.
Mr. Treese.
Present.
Ms. Fowler.
Here.
Ms. Wainer.
Here.
We're in order. First of all, there is a mask policy for all City of Columbia buildings. If you are not wearing a mask, I'm going to ask you to step outside. I'm going to ask you, stop. I'm going to ask you to lower the signs because it prevents other people from observing what you're seeing. I'm going to ask you to refrain from any public demonstrations of support or opposition to this because I want everybody who comes to this podium to feel comfortable expressing their opinion without... Under Section 15 of the Columbia Code of Ordinances, I'm going to suspend the opportunity for all persons to be heard prior to the final passage of Bill 260-21. I'm sorry. The ordinance does not require public comment on emergency ordinances. I've already... Madam Clerk, are there any adjustments? Are there any adjustments to tonight's agenda? I make a motion that we approve the agenda as distributed. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Scala. All those in favor of approving the agenda without changes indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Madam Clerk, could you read Bill 260-21, please?
Council Bill 260-21 is an ordinance establishing the requirement to wear a face mask in certain locations in order to prevent or limit the spread of the COVID-19 disease, authorizing the adoption of further orders for the implementation of the ordinance, declaring an emergency for enactment, and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. First reading.
So I have a couple procedural issues. We're going to have a staff report. I'm going to ask council if they have any questions of staff, and then I'm going to make a procedural motion to waive the rule requiring consideration of the ordinance at two separate meetings and place Bill 260-21 on its second reading. Could I have a staff report, please?
Good evening. I'll be brief. I didn't put a PowerPoint together for you since we just did this a week ago. So just an update, our five-day average of new cases is comparable to where we were at the beginning of February. It's decreasing slightly. Since Friday's report, though, we did have 178 new cases today.
Was that 107 or 170?
Excuse me. Please, excuse me. We still have rules of decorum. Please seek recognition before speaking.
Okay. Our testing has increased for the past...
The report, please.
You're her.
Could you speak into the microphone, please?
Pull it down. Our testing has increased over the past 7 days versus the prior 7 days by 12%. There were 3,300 PCR tests conducted in the past week. Testing turnaround time averaged 1.2 days. Positivity rate has decreased from our deduplicated one we use. It was 40.5. In mid-July, it's down to 32.2. Using the CDC method that I reported on last week, we were 13.4%. Today, we are at 12.1. Our hospitals continue to report yellow status. Staffing remains a significant issue with our hospitals. That's a trend nationwide as well. Today we have 119 people at Boone County hospitals. That's an increase of 5 since Friday. 28 in the ICU. That's a decrease of 9. And 14 on a ventilator. That's a decrease of 8. At 2 o'clock today, we had 28 active cases here in Boone County. That's an increase since one since Friday. Our vaccinations are increasing. In June, we averaged 800 vaccinations per week. In July, it was 1,368 per week. And our 7-day rolling average this morning was 2,386. That is an increase from the previous week. I will also point out that less than 1.1%, actually 0.6%, of Boone County's 86,012 residents who have been vaccinated have gone on to develop COVID. So those are the breakthrough cases. So the vaccines are working. At our sewer shed meeting, or at our meeting last week, I reported on our sewer shed numbers. That's the testing that's done at the wastewater treatment plant. So last week, it was 356,000. This week, it's 234,000. So that's an improvement. So, okay, with regards to masks, you know that I'm a supporter of wearing masks. And I do believe, despite what some think, that they are an effective mitigation strategy, and it's one of many tools in the toolbox. Because of the Delta variant and this mask benefit, I issued the public health advisory on July 7th, and that recommended that both the unvaccinated and vaccinated continue wearing masks when indoors if they didn't know the status of the vaccine, or how many people around them have been vaccinated. That advisory remains consistent with CDC's recommendations on July 27th. I don't believe that a mask mandate is going to significantly increase mask wearing. I do believe...
Please. Please. We did not ask for questions. We are hearing a staff report. There will be council questions. And then we will have council discussion. Please refrain from any public demonstrations in support or opposition to this bill. Is that clear? Is that clear? Would you? Would you please continue with your staff report?
So with regards to the mandate, I just know that what will happen is what we experienced before, and that it's going to take a significant amount of our staff time to receive and respond to all the complaints. And, you know, that was enforced by our department and the Office of Neighborhood Services under the prior mandates. And I really just believe our time is better spent working on education, outreach, and vaccinations. I think one of the most encouraging things to me this last 2 weeks is that we have seen an uptick in our vaccinations. And what our nurses are reporting at our outreach clinics are that we're seeing more and more people come to get vaccinated who would fall in the, what I would say, the vaccine hesitant category, and they're wanting the shots. And so really I fear that a new mandate is gonna harm the progress that we're making with this new group. And I think the vaccinations, I just wanna see our efforts go towards vaccinations. So happy to take your questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Councilmember Fowler.
Hello, Dr. Browning. I appreciate your efforts. I wanted to ask you some questions about the Delta variant and how that has differed from the earlier variants as far as transmissibility and breakthrough infections. And I didn't hear the number of breakthrough infections that went by too fast for me.
It's point less than 1%. So
that you have recorded?
Yes.
Okay, less than
1%. So
it's
around 503, I believe, out of 86,000.
Is that the 86,000 initial shots have been given?
86,000 vaccinated in Boone County.
With both shots or one shot?
Both.
Both shots, okay. 503 of 86,000, both shots. Okay, so about the differences between the variants, how many have we had and why is the Delta of particular concern?
Well, we've had the Alpha variant, which originated out of the UK. That was in our sewer shed testing earlier on this year, and that was never proved to really show an increase in our cases, so we don't know why. We stayed mostly alpha variant into early June, I believe. And then we started to see a little bit of delta in the sewer shed results, about 10%. And then the following week, it was 100% delta. There are other variants of concern out there that they're monitoring for. There's gamma and lambda are two, and I don't know that CDC has listed lambda as one of concern yet. But so, you know, we expect that this will mutate and there will be different variants over time.
So the gamma, you said that there hasn't been enough, the CDC hasn't commented on lambda yet. Have they commented on gamma?
I think it's one of concern. I'd have to go back and check. But it's one that we've only seen once in our sewer shed here.
So there isn't any guidance out as to whether or not that's more transmissible than Delta?
Not at this time that I'm aware of, no.
Maybe the next question I have of city staff has to do with how we're paying for not only the testing when I'm just talking about city employees, because okay. There's a cohort of approximately 1,500. I know that there are some vacant positions, but let's just say for sake of discussion, we have 1,500 city employees. If they are exposed and want to be tested, who's paying for that?
There's no cost to them for testing. But I think I see our HR director here. That would be in our insurance plan, and that's not an area that I am well
versed. So a city employee can be tested by city resources at no cost to them.
And yes.
So if they need treatment, whether that requires hospitalization or care that they participate in at home, how is that being paid for?
It would be paid through their insurance if they are insured, and so they would have, depends on which plan they've picked and all of those. Again, I would.
And so if they're hospitalized at this point, now I'd heard some discussion before about that there was funding available for hospitalization if someone was hospitalized with COVID, but my curiosity is when does that move over onto either the individual's health insurance plan or all of our what we call unsponsored care in the system, where there is no way to pay for that absent the system absorbing it. So are we at a place where if you're hospitalized for COVID as a city employee that the city's insurance plans are paying for that?
I would assume so. Again, I would defer to our HR director here.
Dr. Enyard's here. I would like some clarification about that, because at some point, given the combination of, and my understanding is, Mr. Glasscock, that there's a combination there of what we are self-insured for versus what we then have insurance for where our health and benefit plans are concerned. Are they all external to the city?
It seems like you're getting a little off topic for the bill.
No, I want to know what the consequences are of...
Referring to a citywide mask mandate.
Yes.
We have a mask policy for all city employees in city buildings.
The spread of the Delta variant.
I just want to remind you to stay on topic to Bill 260.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But the costs of dealing with the Delta variant are a consideration in whether or not we should have an indoor mask mandate at this time. And so that seems to be a mystery to most people. We assume that that's being covered, and I'm making an inquiry to find out whether or not those costs to you as an employer and every other, I've already inquired of the insurance broker that manages the insurance for my company, how are those costs being handled when the Delta variant is contracted?
So what I would tell you, Ms. Fowler, is our insurance will cover it unless somebody else does, such as the federal government. So if we get federal money to cover COVID costs, we could use that money for that. Minus that, it's our own insurance company.
And so do you expect that the cost of carrying insurance for your employees is going to rise as a result of when you incur costs pertaining to the Delta variant?
We don't project it to rise next year, no.
And does Dr. Enyard have any specific information he could share with us about the benefit plans and the imposition that Delta variant is having on them?
Basically, the plan will cover hospitalization, the employees will still have to meet their deductibles and also the copay that comes along with depending on what benefit package they chose.
And are you using an outside insurance agency that provides both all the what we call indemnity benefit? You pay premium.
Right. We have a third-party provider, United Healthcare, that provides us with, you know, the claim calls and history and so forth. To answer the previous question, are we seeing the costs go up? As far as our premiums for healthcare next year, that is not going to go up, but a lot will depend as we go further into the future based on our claims history.
Yes. And so have you seen an uptick in claims history as a result of COVID where our employees and their families are concerned?
Not at this point.
From the very beginning, 17 months ago to today?
Well, I don't have that information available to me, but I can look it up and find out for you. But to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
I can basically check back to see what our reports indicate. But at this point in time, because our premiums are not going up, indicates that the claims have not been that significant. We had a few outliers, but for the most part, things have been within normal range.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further inquiry of staff? Does any other council member have any questions for staff? Council member Wehner.
It's for Stephanie, thank you. You spoke about staffing being an issue at the hospitals. In some places, they're saying they're having trouble staffing nurses and things because those nurses have contracted COVID. Do we have any idea of what is leading to the staffing issues at the hospitals?
Well, there is a staffing issue everywhere. Right. But I know that both when I talked to both hospitals last week, they were dealing with their own workers being out with COVID, and that could be COVID that they acquired out in the community, you know, could be in the workplace, but most likely out in the community.
Thank
That's
you.
Why they went to masks and they went to the mandatory vaccinations.
Got it.
Any further inquiry? Seeing none, I'll make a motion that we waive the rule requiring consideration of the ordinance at two separate meetings and place Bill 26021 on its second reading. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Scala. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Well, I had a question, but you moved rather quickly.
I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of a roll call. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, could you read Bill 26021 again?
Council Bill 26021 is an ordinance establishing the requirement to wear a face mask in certain locations in order to prevent or limit the spread of the COVID-19 disease, authorizing the adoption of further orders for the implementation of the ordinance, declaring an emergency for enactment, and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective, second reading.
So we have received 743 emails in favor or opposition to Bill 26021. I've had several people express concern to me this evening that they do not feel comfortable given that there are a number of people unwilling to follow the mask policy of the city of Columbia. Given that I'm not certain additional public comment is going to yield any new information, and the inability of the audience to follow the rules of decorum that I am required to follow, and the public health director's concern about the longer the exposure of these unmasked and uncertain vaccination status in this building, I would suggest I am going to proceed to council discussion consistent with Section 15 that does not require public comment on emergency ordinances. If you all put your masks on, this is not an audience participation exercise. We're going to suspend public comment. Does any council member desire to be heard on Bill 26021? Mr. Scala.
The mayor has the support as my support. I can't speak for the rest of the city council members, but without this decorum, we cannot continue to have a public hearing. despite the fact that we've had ample discussion via email and so on. We would do that if the rules of decorum could be followed, but clearly that is not the case now, and so I support the mayor in his decision.
Is there any discussion? Councilmember Fowler.
Well, I'm not in favor of suspending public comment, given the number of people who had to rearrange their schedules to be here this evening. I'll wait till they're done. So if the city staff cannot remove people from the room who won't be quiet, I have seen that happen in other council meetings where you are asked to leave the room. We have police presence for that, for people who won't be quiet so we can be heard. I do have a hearing loss, and so when Dr. Browning was speaking, I had to crane my neck to make sure that I could hear her because of the background noise. So that being said, I will wait until you're quiet. I don't believe that this is an appropriate time to suspend public comment on something that is this important to the families of small children, to the families of senior citizens, and to our small business community. That my concern is that without an indoor mask ordinance, we're putting our small business community in jeopardy. So I will vote no on that motion.
I'm going to proceed with council discussion. Does any council member desire to be heard on Bill 26021?
So this is the discussion for the ordinance
on the bill. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I wish to be recognized for a privileged motion. Actually,
Scala.
It's a subsidiary motion, and that is and I've sent out I've responded to probably more than 200 emails. Some with a more or less a template as to how I would proceed in this meeting, but some a little bit more tailored towards some of the questions that were asked. And in that email, I suggested that what I would ask for was a tabling motion. And my tabling motion was to October 4th, which would occur not only after the budget session, during which time we would not have a lot of time to deal with this, and we could table it sooner. Sooner the better for me. But with regard to this issue in particular, I suspect that if we tabled it to September, we would wind up tabling it again, perhaps to a later date, because we simply wouldn't have the time to do it. But nonetheless, that would afford us a couple of advantages. One is the advantage of having the data from both the K through 12 school children with regard to any exacerbation of the effects of Delta, and the college students as they come back, and in terms of collecting the data, compiling it, and getting some real data to suggest that we may or may not have the real problem some of us are anticipating. But I understand I had a little conversation with the city attorney, so I'll defer to the city attorney right now to answer some of these questions about whether tabling is appropriate and whether or not this bill ought to be voted up or down right now and bring it back in a new form. So if you could explain a little bit of the rationale behind this.
Certainly. By definition, an emergency ordinance requires the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, and welfare. This particular ordinance was drafted based upon the current conditions. So tabling this ordinance until October would not be appropriate because it is an emergency ordinance. What we would need to do in October, if you want to bring back an ordinance, would be to redraft an ordinance that's based upon the conditions in October that are facing the city and form the basis for an emergency ordinance. When it comes to enactment of an emergency ordinance, it does take an affirmative vote of 6 members of the city council. It's a vote of 6/7. So that's 6 out of 7 of you. And as you know, Mr. Thomas is not here this evening, so tonight it would take a unanimous vote of the members who are present in the council chambers in order for the emergency ordinance to pass this evening.
Can I ask one other question, and that is with respect to the timing of this issue. If, in fact, I agree with you, and I'm not sure I do, but let's assume for the moment that I agree with you that a tabling motion is not appropriate, and we do decide to vote this up or down based on the ordinance, is there a time determination in terms of when the City Council can bring this back for reconsideration with the ordinance in terms of a non-emergency circumstance, given new data that may be incoming?
You can bring back a new ordinance on the subject matter with leave of a majority of council at any particular point in time. Without the consent or leave of council, which is four votes, it's not the 6/7. It would be 90 days. So with leave of council, if you have another emergency or if you have an emergency that exists at the time, leave of council can be granted within that 90-day period.
Well, I guess given that answer, I am prepared to go in that direction. I still would seek recognition for the purpose of making a tabling motion and see if there is a second to that motion for the October 4th date. If that fails, I'd be perfectly willing to go along with this process to vote this up or down. And then seek this new ordinance not necessarily in October, but probably in October after the budget season, with the new data that the attendance in the K-12 and the university students will provide with respect to the Delta variant. So I'll make that motion.
Gentleman's made a motion to table until October 4th. Is there a second? Seeing none, your motion fails.
And call the question.
Gentleman has made a, so gentleman wants to make a motion. Can I put a pin in that for just a minute? Just to make sure that other council members have a chance to speak.
Absolutely.
On the bill. Does any other council member desire to be heard on Bill 26021? Council Member Fowler.
So the decision that you're making not to allow public comment, will we vote on that question?
No, I made that decision. If you want to appeal the ruling of the chair.
I would like to appeal the ruling of the chair.
Councilmember Fowler has asked to appeal the ruling of the chair. All those in favor of suspending public comment pursuant to Section 15 of the Legislative Proceedings of the Columbia City Code of Ordinance indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
No.
By your vote of 4-2, you have upheld the ruling of the chair. Any further council discussion on Bill 26021? Let me just say, before I call the roll, I support wearing masks. Madam Clerk, call the roll.
Council Bill 26021, Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Mr. Pitzer?
No.
Ms. Peters?
No.
Mr. Treese?
No.
Ms. Fowler?
Yes.
Ms. Wehner?
Yes.
By your vote of 3-3, you have defeated Bill 26021. Any? I move we adjourn.
Second.
We are adjourned.